Hello and good evening from Yerushalayim HaKodesh. Today we will be talking about boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, mostly focusing on what happens in the north of Eretz Yisrael, some clues to how far north the border goes, and also the status of Syria, Kibbutz Sheref and Kibbutz Rabin, and hopefully, time permitting, we'll also have a little Torah on last week's Parsha, Parsha's Chayesara, the whole story with Eliezer, where that took place, and a little understanding of the Parsha. The Gemara of Bava Basra, Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. Kiyat Rav Dima Amar Rav Yochanan. Ma'idich Siv, the Pasuk says, Ki hu al Yanim Yisoda val Nahor Zichonenem. He established Eretz Yisrael on Yanim, on lakes, val Nahor Zichonenem, on rivers, Elu Shiva Yanim, va'arba Nahoras, shemakifin is Eretz Yisrael. These are seven seas, seven lakes, lakes and seas, it's more appropriate. Va'arba Nahoras and four rivers, shemakifin is Eretz Yisrael, that are surrounding Eretz Yisrael. Ve'elu Shiva Yanim. These are the seven seas. Yamash al Tiberia. Those are the seven which we'll explain. So these are seven seas mentioned over here in the Gemara, and four Naharas, four rivers, which surround the Eretz Yisrael. So some of these are very simple and beyond any doubt the explanation, while others are open to various interpretations based on geographical understanding, historical understanding, archaeological understanding. Okay, so let's start with the Shiva Yamim, because they're listed over here first. Shiva Yamim. Number one, Yamash al Tiberia. Yamash al Tiberia, we don't need to elaborate on at all. Of course, the Yamash al Tiberia is referring to Yam Kineret or Yam Ginosar, which Tiberia is sitting on the Kineret. So that's beyond that. We know what we're talking about over there. Yamash al Sodom. Yamash al Sodom is, of course, the Dead Sea. No need to elaborate on that either. Gemara talks about Maseches Shabbos. The Gemara talks about Me'olam Lotam Gavra B'Yamad Sodom. A person never drowned in Yamash al Sodom because of the salt content. So it's, we know what we're talking about. Also other historical sources, the Greek geographer Strabo, who visited the country and talks about the area of the southern Dead Sea, which is, and he calls it the Yamash al Sodom. So that, of course, we have no doubt what that's talking about. Now we have over here Yamash al Chilas, the Yamash al Chilto. Those two we're going to have to explain. The Yamash al Sibchi. The Yam of Sibchi is no doubt what's known today as the Chula Lake. And today that lake is dry, nothing left of it. It was drained by the Israeli government in the 50s, but until then it existed, a big lake, and there were times when it was a swamp. And or in Yerushalmi, as we'll get to, Yam Shel Samchu, that's clearly, we're talking about the Chula Lake, which, as I said, has been drained 50 years ago, and that is in the northern part of the Jordan River, between the Dan and the Banias, where the Jordan River flows to get to the Kinneret. There was a big lake over there, which was called Samchu, Samchonitis, by the days of Josephus, and that's clearly that. Then we have Yamas Pamya, which we're going to try to solve also, and the Yam HaGadol. And the Yam HaGadol, of course, is the Mediterranean. So these, so four of them, the Yam of Tiberias, Yam HaSodom, Yam HaSamcho, and Yam HaGadol, we have no problem with the explanations. That is unanimous. The other two, Yam HaShechilas, Yam HaShechilto, and Yam HaSpamyo, we're going to have to try to explain. But before we can actually try to explain that, what's important is to bring the Yerushalmi here also. And the Yerushalmi has a similar similar text in Yerushalmi Kilayim, Perek Tes Halacha Dalet, but some small, slight discrepancies which might be able to help us to understand what we're talking about. It says, Ki hu al yamim v'sodo, there are seven seas that surround the Eretz Yisrael, which is similar to Gemara and Bava Basra. Yam Araba, which is of course the Yam HaGadol, which is the Mediterranean. Yam HaTiberia, as we said, is the Kinneret. Yam HaSamchu, which we said is was known as the Chula Lake, was the Chula Lake, was drained. Yama de Milcha, that's of course Yam HaMelech. And then we have over here Yama de Chulata, Yama de Shilya, Yama de Apamia. So these are the other three. As we see, the slightly difference because we have in the Bavli it's Yama Shechilas and Yama Shechilta, and here in the Yerushalmi it's Yama de Chilta, the Chulta rather, and Yama de Shilyas. And the other one, which in the Bavli is Yam Aspamya, here over here it is Yam Apamya, Yama de Apamya. And then Yerushalmi asks another question. Yerushalmi asks, Veika Yama de Chometz, what about the Yama Shel Chometz? Which why don't we count that? So Gemara says the Klitano Sikvan Haras Vasa. The Clodion, the emperor, the Clodion, he made a dam on the river and he created this Yam of the Chometz. But it's not a natural sea; it's a sea that was created by the dam that was made by the Clodion. That's why we don't count it. So before we get to the issue of the rivers, which is an issue in itself, so we have the seven. Out of the seven, four have been solved. And we have over here Yam Aspamya. Now Aspamya is believed to be Spain, and no one thinks that the Yam Aspamya, which is Spain, is one of the seven Yamim which is surrounding Eretz Yisrael. That's obviously not. We have the Gemara earlier, that the Gemara says Shiev Aspamya, V'yachzik Shana, V'yelchav Yudu Shana, a year's travel from Eretz Yisrael to get to Aspamya. That's talking about Spain or somewhere in that vicinity. But here, so the Bible says Yam Aspamya. In the Yerushalmi, the Gemara says Yam Apamya. So what is Apamya? Apamya is a city in Syria called Apamea. And it's mentioned in Mishnayos, in the end of Chala, we have the story that it says Ariston hevi bikurav me'apamya. Ariston brought bikurim from Apamya, and which is not Eretz Yisrael, but it's Syria. We have it here. Yerushalmi Chala Perek Dalet Halacha Hey. Ariston hevi bikurim apamya v'kiblu mimenu, and they accepted the bikurim. Bikurim only come from itself. Neshamar akone b'Surya, kekone b'bavar Yerushalayim. A person who buys territory in Syria is as if he buys in the outskirts of Yerushalayim. So this person apamya brought, this person Ariston brought his bikurim from apamya. They accepted. They considered it Eretz Yisrael. Interestingly, in a burial cave found outside of the old city in Gave Meninom, they actually found the family tomb of this Ariston. And it says in that Ariston Mapamia, and it has other names also from the family, this son, daughter, whatever, they were all found in this burial cave. So he wasn't just a nobody, evidently he was, you know, a known person, a prominent person, but he came from Syria. So we have Apamia, which is a city, which according to the Yerushalmi over here, the Mishnah in Chala is in Syria, and indeed in Syria today there is a place called Apamea, which was later built into a Roman city, and that seems to be the Yam Apamya that the Yerushalmi was talking about, and that would be what the Girsa of the Yam Aspamya in the Bavli. So we have over here a map in the Hebrew Schadenstein, and I think it's supposed to go into the English Yerushalmi and Kilayim as well, where the same sugya, where it marks Apamya on the map, which is on the Orontes River, north already in the area of Syria. I think it's even a drop north of Lebanon. Then we mentioned the other question that Yerushalmi asked, Veika Yama de Chometz. What about Yama Shel Chometz? So if you have the Encyclopedia Talmudet on Eretz Yisrael, so it has it over there marked. What about Yam of the Chometz? So the Yerushalmi says, the Clodion, he's the one who created this Yam of the Chometz. So what's just interesting is that this, I don't think you can find it on that one, the city of Chometz, which is Hamat, also has a lake next to it, and to this very day, the Roman dam is still visible in this, this Roman dam is visible in the lake. The city of Hamat appears, but Rapam you won't appear. Hamat was a big city, and when it says Latin Rechav Levoy Hamas, Ma'ar to sell Levoy Hamas, so we're talking about somewhere in that region up there in Syria, correct? So the lake next to the city of Hamat or Al-Hama today in Syria is there, and it's known that it's built. It was caused by a Roman dam. The Roman dam is still there, and according to Yerushalmi, it's Diclodian who actually, don't remember the years he was emperor, he was one of the later emperors who built this dam, and that is Yam HaDachal. Okay, so we're left with another two Yamim which are unclear, and for that there are various opinions in the modern day of researchers. What to look for over here. Tavuos Ha'aretz, for example, Yam Chilat, he says we should be Gores Yam Eilat, and put it all the way, the Sea of Eilat, which means the Gulf of Eilat today, the Gulf of Aqaba, that should be, that instead of Chilat, that should be Eilat. This is an interesting suggestion. First of all, I don't think there's anywhere else that we find such a name of Yam Eilat, so that's number one. But okay, some of the Yam are mentioned here, we don't have any other historical references to either. But that would mean that Eilat is part of Eretz Yisrael. And that was if we list Yam Eilat as one of the seven Yam that surrounds Eretz Yisrael, so then it would mean that Eretz Yisrael reaches to Eilat. Which is of course a chiddush in itself, Okay, I'm listening to Kaczynski, and a sefer called the Arzik Vulosel. So he brings over here the different opinions, and he doesn't want to accept. He doesn't want to accept this idea that Yam Chilas and Yam Chulata. So Yam Chulata, Yam Chilas. So one opinion is Eilat. According to the Atmos Kodesh, it is a swamp east of Damascus. That's where the it's a swamp east of Damascus. That's where the Nahar Amana, which flows through Damascus, flows into. That's what he calls Yam HaDechilas. Chulata, he identifies over here as a place called Birkat Ram. Birkat Ram is a small lake in the Golan, and they want to identify that as Yam Shel Chilas. There are problems with that. First of all, the question is, would that be on the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael? That's an interesting question in itself. Second question is, it's such a tiny thing, it's hard to believe that that would be labeled as a lake. What's interesting, though, is that in the ancient times, they believed that the Jordan River comes from Birkat Ram. It flows from Birkat Ram, and Josephus even says that they did an experiment, and they took chaff and they threw it into Birkat Ram, and then the water, and then it came out in the water from the banyas. So today this hasn't been scientifically proven. It's not clear where the water comes from in the Birkat Ram itself. I'm saying this could be the connection, you know, if indeed, you know, there was a connection to the Yarden, so then, you know, then Birkat Ram would fit into this whole picture, because we're talking about the Yarden here, so this was would fit in, even though it is a real small tiny lake. So Yama the Chilas, as we said, some say that it's a lot. So there's another we mentioned the Atmos Kodesh, who identifies it with Birkat Ram. Dr. Kaczynski wants to suggest that this is the Sea of Antioch, which is all the way up north on the border of Syria and Turkey, all the way up over there. That's where Yamad Antiochia is. Now, these things, of course, have to do with the fact, the question is how far north the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael go. And that is a whole machlokas in itself. You have the captive of Ferach, who would draw the line until of Har, the northwestern boundary of Eretz Yisrael, all the way near Antioch, and then Yamad Antioch can fit. But if you go to Tvoros Haaretz, who draws it, Rambam draws it at Banias, not the Banias we're familiar with, but a different one near the 38th parallel, and 40. Then you have the Admas Kodesh, who draws a line for much further south than the Tvoros Haaretz, and draws already near Beirut. So all these, there's no way that we are going to consider Yamad Antiochia, the Yam of Antioch, as one of the seven Yamim, because it's way further north than the boundary of Eretz Yisrael. But if we go according to the Yerushalmi, which seems to be the more accurate gear, so we're talking about Yam HaPami and Yam HaLechometz, so then that really doesn't leave us much choice but to say that the northern boundary of Eretz Yisrael at least reached as far north as Hamat and whatever, and therefore can be Antioch. Let's go on to try to help shed some light on this issue. Let's go on to the four rivers and see if we can, if they help us shed light on that. Okay, the four rivers mentioned over here in the Gemara of Bava Basra, Ve'ele and Arba Nahores, Yarden, V'Yarmuch, V'Kirumyon, Ufigo. Those are the four rivers. So Yarden, there's no real need to elaborate on that. We all know where the Jordan River is. Yarmuch. The Yarmuch today is a known river, El Yarmuch, which was called. It doesn't appear in any other Jewish sources, but the river that flows in to the Jordan River separates between the Golan in the north and the Gilad in the south. Boundary between Syria and Jordan, and later becomes the boundary between Israel and Jordan. That is Nahar Yarmuch that pours into the Yarden, and that's also something that's fairly unanimous. Then we have Kirumyon and Pigah and Fega, which are two rivers which are almost unknown to us from any other source, and therefore these things are open to various interpretations. So the Aruch is the first one to suggest that the Kirumyon and Figah are the two rivers of the Amana and the Parpar. And he mentioned, they say, from Malachim al-Hatov, Abanao, Parpar, Naroz, Damesek, Nikol, Mamie, Israel. So the Amana and the Parpar are the two rivers. The Amana actually flows through Damascus itself. The Parpar is further south. Both of them flow from west to east. The water comes from the Hermon, snow that melts into the Hermon. A bunch of rivers come out of the Hermon, and those are the two that go eastward. Those that go south are actually the three sources of the Jordan River, the Dan, the Chatzmani, and the Banias. And we also have the Litani River that flows into Lebanon, and the Orontes, which flows north. So the Hermon provides a lot of water to the whole region. So the Aruch is the first one to suggest that these two rivers, Kirumyon and Pigah, are the Amana and the Parpar. And with that, the Tvoros Haaretz went. The Tvoros Haaretz went with that opinion, and also said those two. However, the Admas Kodesh, Yitzchak Goldhar, who was later than the Tvoros Haaretz, he said no. He said that the Amana and the river, there's a village called Pegai, which is Fiji, which is the figure we mentioned over here. But he refuses to call both of these rivers the figure, because he says it's all one river. So he says, where do I get the Kirumyon? And with that, he identifies it with the river, which no doubt he's talking about the Litani River. The Litani River comes out, as I mentioned moments ago, comes out from the western side of the Hermon and flows south, and then cuts west, according to the Mediterranean, between Tsar and Sidon, and he had known also as Kisamiya, and that is what he identifies as the fourth river. In the book Hagiographia by Mishnah from Professor Segal, he identifies the Figa as the Arkon River. And the source of the Arkon River is a place called Antipatris, today Rosh Ha'ayin, and or Afek. And in ancient times, there was a village over there called some name similar to Figa, and that's how he identifies the Arkon River with the Figa. What does he do with Kerem Yon? So Kerem Yon, he comes up with an interesting thing. He says it has to do with the glass production, and therefore he identifies it with Nachal Na'aman. Now, most of you probably never heard of Nachal Na'aman, and Nachal Na'aman is a small stream that pours into the Mediterranean just south of Acre. Now, in ancient times, the boats never docked in the Mediterranean itself because it's very rough seas. So those going to the port of Akko actually docked in this Nachal Na'aman. Now, we know that area north was used for glass. So that is his suggestion. It is very hard to accept that this small stream, Nachal Na'aman, which doesn't get any mention over here, the Gemara will call it the famous... one of the four Naharas. Now, one Nahar which is clearly absent from here is, of course, the Pras. The Pras, which is not mentioned over here, is one of these Naharas that's bordering on Eretz Yisrael. And we're going to have to find out why, and we'll go to that in the second stage when we finish this thing. Since we mentioned that the Yama Pamya is clearly, Aspamya is clearly Yama Pamya, which is not the man in Syria, and as we said, that means that the border of Eretz Yisrael goes all the way up towards Antioch, which Mr. Kaczynski takes to Yamad Antioch also. So it is clear to me, beyond any doubt, that the Orontes River, which pours, comes out from the Hermon and flows north through the Yama Pamya, through the Yama de Chometz, and all the way by Antioch, and pours into the Mediterranean all the way near Antioch, there's no doubt that has to be one of those four rivers. There's no way it can't be. Again, I don't have a name for it, but there's no way that cannot be one of the four rivers. If I go by logic, then the fourth river would be the Litani, as the Admas Kurdish mentioned. When we're talking about the size of rivers, then the Litani is the only one that fits in with the Yarden, Yarmuch, etc. The problem with the Litani is that the Gemara talks over here, we're talking about things that are bordering on Eretz Yisrael. Elu, Shiva, Yam, Vab, and Arsha, Mekifin is Eretz Yisrael. The Litani is not a river that surrounds Eretz Yisrael, if we go with the Orontes, of course. If we don't go with the Orontes, if we draw the border much further south, like the Admas Kodesh does, so then he won't have a problem with the Litani as one of the rivers surrounding Eretz Yisrael. But if we go with a much border further north, then the Litani cannot qualify as one of those bordering Eretz Yisrael. So the Admas Kodesh has no problem, because he again draws the border further south. But as we prove from the Yerushalmi, it's clearly going much further north, all the way up to Apamia and Chometz, so it will be hard to put the Litani from that point of view in. How does the Amana and Papar rivers and the Yarmuch fit into the bound, the rivers surrounding Eretz Yisrael? So I do have an interesting suggestion, but as you see in the end, there is problems with this idea that I'm going to come up with over here, but it's original. And we have Yecheskel over here. In the Torah we have the boundaries of Eretz Canaan. We have a few different boundaries of Eretz Canaan. One is Minahar Mitzrayim, the Nahar Gadol, Nahar Pras, that was given to Avraham Avinu. Those are extended boundaries. Those are the extended boundaries given to Avraham Avinu, the 10 Umos, and that's in Parshas Lech Lecha, the Bris Ben Hamsar. Now, we know numerous Gemaras that the Gemara says that Syria is called Kibush Yachid. Syria, which was captured with David HaMelech, it doesn't have the status of Eretz Yisrael. It has a status between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. So for that, the Rambam comes and asks a question over here. The Rambam says, Eretz Yisrael Amor B'chol Makom is lands that cover Shosem Melech Yisrael Lashavet Anavim Midas Rav Yisrael. But a Yachid or a Mishpacha that will go and capture a place from the Arch and Nitna L'Avraham Eino Nikra Eretz Yisrael Kedei Shinagub B'chol HaMitzvos. They capture stuff that was given to Avraham Avinu, that's not called Eretz Yisrael. Then goes the Rambam and says, Arotz Shekovash David Chutz L'Arch Kanan. The lands that David HaMelech captured outside of Eretz Canaan. Listen to this carefully. It doesn't have the status of Eretz Yisrael. It's got some status in between. The Rambam says, why are they less than Eretz Yisrael? So the Rambam says, he didn't capture all of Eretz Yisrael before that. Had he captured all of Eretz Canaan to its boundaries first, and then he would capture Rotas Acheros, other lands, Hoya Kibush Kulo Eretz Yisrael Lecholto. So the Rambam says the reason why David HaMelech's Kibush, Syria, is called Kibush Yochid is because he didn't capture Eretz Canaan like Bulasat first. Now, if we come to discuss, is Damascus included, is Damascus and Aram Tzova, which the Rambam lists over here, Aram Narayim v'Aram Tzova v'Achlo v'Kayotze b'hen. The Rambam lists as Aram Narayim also, so that's a very interesting point that we're going to have to mention when we get to the Pasha, but okay. Is Damascus in the territory of Nahar Mitzrayim and Nahar Gal Nahar Pras? For sure, yes. There's no doubt about that it's included. According to one opinion, there's different opinions. We know as Bnei Yisrael captured seven umas, the Kenei Knezim Kadmoni remained for loss of level. According to one opinion, one of the Kenei Knezim Kadmoni is Damascus. So when David HaMelech captured Damascus, he captured what was promised to Avraham Avinu. So why is that Kibush Yochid? So the answer is because in Pashas Maaseh, we have to say that this is the answer. Because in Pashas Maaseh, there are boundaries of Eretz Canaan Ligvuloseho. That term, which the Rambam used, Zos Haaretz, Pashas Maaseh, Lamedalad, Bamidbar Lamedalad Beis, Zos Haaretz, Asher Tzivu Lecha Menachem Eretz Canaan Ligvuloseho. And this over here does not include Damascus. It only includes the territory of Shiva Amim. It doesn't include Damascus. And therefore, the first thing you have to capture is this. After you capture this, you can go and capture everything else that's promised to Avraham Avinu. But it's not Eretz Canaan Ligvuloseho. Eretz Canaan Ligvuloseho is what's in Pashas Maaseh. The rest, so David HaMelech captured what was promised to Avraham Avinu, the area of Syria, and the area of Syria was promised to Avraham Avinu, but since he didn't capture Eretz Canaan Ligvuloseho first, he has it in a Kibush Yochid. Now, we have an interesting question over here. It seems from the Ramban in the Chumash that Rashi in Parshas Devarim and other places that the area of Mamlecha Sichon was not part of what they were originally meant to capture. And the Ramban says that Moshe Rabbeinu would have left it desolate. So the question is like this. Had they not captured Eretz Sichon yet, what would have been included in Eretz Canaan Ligvuloseho for capturing Eretz Yisrael? That is my question. In other words, what that they already captured Sichon v'Nob would be included in the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael in this Pasha had they not yet captured Eretz Sichon v'Nob? So how do we know? It's a hypothetical question. But it's not. We have an answer. And the answer for that is all in Sefer Yecheskel. Now, it is very complicated to go into the details over here in Sefer Yecheskel, but in Sefer Yecheskel, he talked about dividing the land to the Shvatim into 12 scripts, and the 13th script will be for the Nasi and the Beis HaMikdash. So it's very complicated to go in and try to figure out the... we have over here in the Yecheskel Mem Zayin, and it has over here the list. Now, one thing we see from here clearly is Uva'as Kodim, the eastern boundary, Mibain Chavran and Mibain Damasek, between the Choran and Damasek, Mibain HaGilad and Ben Eretz Yisrael HaYarden, Migvul Al Yama Kadmoni Tomod, and between the Gilad and Eretz Yisrael, the Yarden. So, clearly over here, he's not including Eber HaYarden. which is a question in itself. How could the boundaries of Bechazka not be including Eber Hayade, which is a valid question, which I don't have an answer for yet at this stage. But it's clearly marking off the Gilad that's not part of Eretz Yisrael. Yet, he marks the boundaries between Bein Chavran or Bein Damesek. The Choran, which is an area south of Damesek, east of the Golan today, the boundary goes between Choran and between Damesek, which means it is including the Choran and the Golan Heights. Rashi says, in Devarim, on the Pasuk Ahu Yikari Eretz Ephraim, when it talks about the land of Og, that is what I promised Avram Avinu. So it seems that the one exception that would have been from the whole part that's east of the Yarden and whatever would just be the Golan Heights, not the southern area that's today Jordan, but the Golan Heights that's today in Eretz Israel. That would have been part of the Eretz Canaan Ligula Sapra. Damascus not, and the area of Jordan today, Ammon or Moab, and that area of Sichon would not be, but the area of Og, which was the Golan Heights, that would have been Eretz Canaan Ligula Sapra. So my suggestion is that if we mark the Yarmuch as a boundary of Eretz Yisrael, so then Damascus isn't. So that would mean that the Parpar River is the northern boundary of the Golan, and the Yarmuch is the southern boundary of the Golan. And that's how, if we maybe go onto this map over here for a second, we would be putting. So first of all. We have over here the Beka, which is the Jordan River, which is the boundary, and we have over here the Dead Sea, which is of course the boundary, and from here we have the Yarmuch, and over here is flowing the Parpar. So this area over here would be Eretz Canaan Ligula Sapra, and that's why these two rivers are considered Makifin as Eretz Yisrael. So that's the idea. The only problem with that is, of course, is that you have the Kinneret here and the Yamash HaSamchu over here, which are also listed as the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. So how do you list this as the boundary and this also as the boundary? That would be a problem with this idea. But what I said, that the Golan is part of Eretz Yisrael proper and the rest isn't, that is pretty clear from the way Yechezkel has it over here. So if we sum it up, the territory of Damascus. Aram Tova, as the Rambam says, Aram Naraim and Aram Tova, Va'achlab, which is the city of Chaleb, all of that is okay. The Rambam doesn't say exactly that this was promised to Avram Avinu, but that would seem to be that this is all promised to Avram Avinu. But it's not in Eretz Canaan Ligvula Sapra, which is in Parshas Maaseh. The Rambam doesn't use that term Parshas Maaseh, but Eretz Canaan Ligvula Sapra is a term used in Parshas Maaseh, and that's the thing that you capture first. So now this brings us to last week's parsha, and we're going to try to come up with a new shot and answer a few questions in what we have in last week's parsha. We have the story with Eliezer Eved Avram, and Eliezer Eved Avram goes to get a wife for Yitzchak. He goes to the family of Nachar, which was Avram Avinu's brother, and seemingly he would go to the city of Haran, and the Ebenezer says clearly that he was sent to go to the city of Haran. However, the city of Haran does not, the name Haran does not appear in Parshas Chayisar. It appears in Toldos, Kumlech Baden Aram, and he goes to Haran, and Vayetze, Vayetzeg Meshevah, Vayelech Harano, all that appears over there. But the word Haran does not appear in Chayisar. So that's point number one, which is important for us to remember. The Pasuk says, Ki el arti vel moladiti telech v'lokachtoi shol avni liyitzchok. And molarity, as Rashi says before, is or custom. But Archi, what is Archi? What does Archi mean? Before it says Beis Avi, Rashi says Choron. But what is Archi? That's question number one. Question number two, we have an interesting story. Now Rashi, of course, focused on this question. I don't think there's any Mefarsh that didn't focus on this question. Before we get to this question, let's start with another question. What is Eliezer Eved Avram looking for? Is he looking for someone from Avram Avinu's family? So why does he have to go and do this whole thing? I'll make a sign, you bring a shalom. If the Nara will ask for water, she'll say, she is the woman. If I would be going, I'd be doing the different tactic. First of all, I'd find out exactly where the family of Avram lives. And then I'd go around, okay, of course, I would test her to see if she, is qualifies or not. But I would... I would actually be able to focus my search on a small thing instead of just a vast thing, whichever girl comes, you know. Okay. Rashi says that this is a sign. She's really kind of, she's Gemal's Chassam. Okay. And the next question, which as I said, almost all of Hashem asked, when Eliezer, Eved Avram, when she, the camel's finished drinking, he takes an Ezem Zav and he puts it on her hands, and then he asks Basmiat, and she said, how could he do this before he even knows Basmiat? He doesn't even know it's from the family of Avram. So, the idea I want to say is like this. In the end of Parshas Noach, we have the story of Terach going from Ur Kasdim all the way to Chora. So we look in the Pasuk right at the end of Parshas Noach. Veikach Terach as Avram beno ve'as Lod ben Aron ben beno. Who is left out of this journey? Nachor. Nachor doesn't appear in this journey. He's the third brother. What happened to Nachor? He remained in Ur Kasdim. He remained in Ur Kasdim. But at a later date, he probably did move somewhere to the Haran region. But Avram Avinu could be didn't even know that. And that's what the Mizrahi says. He didn't even know that. But it doesn't say that they moved to Haran. Now, Ki Emel Arzi. What is Arzi? Arzi is the land that was promised to Avram Avinu. That's why it's called Arzi. What was promised to Avram Avinu? Until the Pras. Haran is a city that is beyond the Pras. Haran is beyond the Pras. Now, where does Eliezer Eved Avram go? It says, "Vayachem v'elch el Aram Naharaim el Ir Nachor." It doesn't say over here Haran. He goes to Aram Naharaim, which in the Pasuk said Aram Naharaim is the Aram between the two rivers, between the two rivers, which would mean that it is past the Pras. From the Rambam, it seems that it's not. The Rambam, these geographical points, there are okay, so he goes to Aram Naharaim, but doesn't say that he went to Haran. He doesn't even know that the family of Avraham Avinu lives here. He doesn't even know that Nachor lives here. He comes and does a test. The test is not to look for a girl from Avraham Avinu's family. That's not the test. When Avram tells Eliezer, you look for a wife, he doesn't even send him to a family. He says, go to my, in other words, I don't want a girl from the Seknani. Just go over there to my land, you know, and go to where I was born, which is in Ur Kasdim, but don't you? So Eliezer is not looking for a wife from the family of Avram. He's looking for a girl who's Gemal's Chassam. When she passes the test, okay, she passed the test. She's Gemalas Chassadim. She's not a Kanani. We're not here. She's the girl. She's fit. He puts on the Nezim. Then he asks her, what is your name? And then she says, Basim Sal Shalom Milka. Whoa, look at that. What a coincidence. It's from the family of Avraham Avinu. I wasn't even looking for that. Baruch Hashem, okay. Adoni Avram, Shalaz Avchaz, Anochim, Badach, Rechan Hashem, Beisach Adoni. This wasn't even planned. And now, Eliezer goes, and I would say he lies. He lies in order to push the shidduch even more impossible. Now when he comes and repeats the story, he changes the whole story around. You should go to my father's family. You should go to my father's house and my family. Is that what Avraham Avinu said? Absolutely not. He says, go to the place where I was born. And here, all of a sudden, he says, go for the family. And then, once again, V'amar Ladoni, I said, maybe lo telech ha'isha acharai. He says, no, Hashem, Hashem, selachti lefona, v'u yishlach, lakachti isha levni, mimishpachti, mebeisavi. Is that what Avraham Avinu said? No, that's not what he said. When he asked him the question, he said, Hashem, 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 who yishlach machol, v'nachom, lakachti isha levni, misham, from there. Take from that area over there, but he didn't say Mishpach to Meisavi. All of a sudden over here, Eliezer of the Rum changes the whole story. He says, I was asking, you know, your top priority, members of the family. The Malbim already points out this thing. Now, next, he comes over and tells a story. So the story is going to have to change also, because if he's looking for someone only from Avraham Avinu's family, then you have a good question. How did he put the Nezim Zahav on her hands before he found out what family she's from. When he actually did the story, it happened, he wasn't looking for something out of his Venus family. He was just looking for Gemal Sassadim. You're looking for Gemal Sassadim? Okay, fine, she's Gemal Sassadim. But now that we're already looking for something from the family, you're going to have to find out first who's a member of the family. So therefore, he changes the whole story around. And he says, I was looking for a member of the family, and then I asked her who she is, and when I found out she's from the family, that's when I put the Nezim and the Tzmidim etc. Okay, but anyway, bottom line is that we have the boundary of Eretz Yisrael, as is clear from Yerushalmi, goes all the way up north along the Orontes River, to Antioch, and then pours into the Mediterranean. That is the boundary where it's Israel, and that's clear, and that fits with the sheet of the Kafta Beferach, that the boundary should be all the way north, not like the Admas Kodesh and the Tvoros Haaretz who put it further south. Again, the issue of Yam HaPamya and the issue of Yam HaChometz show clearly that that's what we're talking about. It goes so far north. The area of Damascus was included in what was promised to Avraham Avinu, but not part of the Gvulos of Parshas Maaseh. Yes, we mentioned the Pras. Now, the Pras doesn't appear, and the reason why the Pras doesn't appear is because this Bryce is talking about the areas that they were to capture, that Teres Kanalik Vulasel, not the territory that was promised to Avraham Avinu. So the Pras therefore doesn't belong in this Seder. Do they all surround Eretz Yisrael? So the Abraham Kanievsky in Derech Amuna has a whole map that he draws, in which he says that the Yam HaMelach flows underneath to Nachal Tzin, from Nachal Tzin it flows to Wadi El Arish, and that's how it all surrounds all of Eretz Yisrael. And based on that, he also draws the map that that's the southern boundary of Eretz Yisrael. So he sent this to his shver, Rabbi Yashem Shlita, and Rabbi Yashem said it's very nice, but Lamaisa, we can't be samech on it to be mekel on the southern boundary of Eretz Yisrael. You have to be machmer until the 35th, until the 30th parallel. Have the 30th parallel in the south and 35th in the north, where the Rambam draws Banyas. The Rambam, interestingly, says that the Banyas in Peridora, this is the Rambam in Charles of Chuvas, he says this place Banyas on the coast is the northern, is the Horahar, the northern border, and that is 40 kilometers off of the 35th parallel. And the Rambam in another place, in Kiddush HaChodesh, says that Eretz Yisrael is between the 30th and 35th parallel. So some want to say it's Lavdavka, whatever, how to explain it, but what's interesting is when it comes to the northern border, so the Rambam does say it's Banyas, and that matches with the 30th parallel in the north, with the 35th parallel in the north. So so that's an interesting point in the Rambam. But anyway, it's clear from this Yerushalmi that the 35th parallel can be, we're talking about Yam HaPamya, and as I said, according to Ramdus and the Kuczynski Yam HaTiochia, that we're talking about all the way in the north, which is the sheet of the Kafta of Ferach, who puts it all the way up there.